As somebody who likes Disney music and show tunes, no one is ever playing my music at parties. So, you know, this is the kind of thing.
See, that's where you're wrong. Because, like, there's so many people. There's someone else sitting there going, damn, I wanted to play that at the last party.
That's what I'm saying. If I had the app.
And I did. I played.
If I had this app, I could at least share it. I could at least share it. Because the DJ was always shutting down my music. That's the problem I had. But, you know, we didn't have any apps when I was in college. People just, there was the DJ and that was it. There was no discussion about it. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 56 of Business Therapy. This is the show where we have real professionals talk about real business challenges live on the air. Today, we're happy to welcome CJ and Trey to the show. Welcome, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, happy to be here.
So today, they're coming on to talk, I think, about some customer acquisition topics. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to just hand it right over to you guys. And please introduce yourselves, talk to us about your business, and then go on and tell us a little bit more about your challenge, and then we'll start the conversation.
Thank you so much. So I'm CJ Campbell, and I am the CEO and one of the founders of our company, Vibes Music. And essentially, Vibes Music is a music sharing app or platform that allows multiple people to collaborate on one playlist, whoever's listening to music. Someone would be able to add their songs, vote on different songs, and just collaborate and share their taste.
Yeah, my name is Trey Nguyen. I'm a 2021 UVA grad and our CMO at the moment. And yeah, I've been a founder with the company as well. And yeah, excited to be here.
Great. So why don't you dive right in and tell us a little bit more about your challenge you wanted to discuss today on the show?
So I think going right into like just customer acquisition, I think right now where our target audience right now is college students. So college students listen to music every day. They're probably one of our biggest consumers of music. So we're trying to get it specifically, even just here on campus at UVA. We want to get Vibes very prominent within frats, maybe restaurants where students are frequent. So I think we're just finding a challenge of how we can get in there in these places kind of very smoothly and very time costly, very less expensive at the same time as well.
Mm-hmm. So maybe let's put it into context a little. What gave you the idea for this and where are you in the journey of your company? So what stage is your company? Do you have, is it live? Do you have customers on it, et cetera?
Yes. So right now at the moment, so just the inception of the idea, we wanted people to become become less passive listeners and more active listeners of just the music in general. So right now we have in the App Store, we have a valid MVP and we have an app on the App Store currently. So anyone can go on and download. We have around maybe like 5,000 current users at the moment. So we're just trying to grow those users, maybe double those users, figuring out different ways how we can figure out that target and that niche.
Yeah, I'd say like in terms of like where we are in our journey, we're still in like very beginning stages trying to get like as much awareness as we can and as many people on the app in general. We've definitely, I think, focused at this point using our UVA connections and our location because it's something that is we've seen works well when you're actually in places and able to talk to businesses and people and organizations and get the idea very in their hands in a firsthand type of way where we actually plan events with them and things like that. So that's kind of like where we're at now is trying to like get it to have as much exposure as possible in the college community at UVA specifically right now. But we're hoping to like kind of expand that once we can really nail down our best strategies at UVA. So.
And maybe I didn't catch it enough, but what was the moment that you said, hey, this should be an app or, hey, you know, this needs to be built? Like what was going on? Like how did that inception point occur?
Oh, so the very initial inception of Vibes. So I was hanging out with about a small group of friends. Maybe it was about four of us, I believe. And we're all listening to music together. So as we already know, relatively, just in music in general, only one person is allowed to control the music or the aux at once. So we're listening to, I think my friend had queued up Michael Jackson, and we're all just listening to Michael Jackson. And my friend and I were like really hype and really excited. And then I looked over, and then my other two friends, they weren't as excited. They were listening, but not as excited. So it immediately popped in my head, and I'm like, huh, what if there was a way where all of us can be able to select all the music we wanted all at once and just vote on different songs that we wanted maybe. And over time, it just began to grow, and we got different modes, and it just grew from there.
Got it. And right now you have the 5,000 customers, but do you know how many you need for a certain purpose? Like you want to do a customer acquisition, but 5,000 could be amazing, you know, or it could be way too little. So like, what's, put it in perspective for the listeners.
Mm-hmm. So he might've, we lost you for a second there, Jonathan, but I think I'll finish the question. What is the target and why? Why do you need more people? So if you want to talk about customer acquisition, I think the question we would have first is, tell us, is 5,000 not enough? Is it enough? This is where I think the question was headed.
Yeah. I think like the 5,000, so I mean, we're pretty happy with that in terms of like the progress and like the point that we've gotten to. But I think to your point, like we're trying to kind of figure out what is the full potential of the idea and like what would be that good target. I would say like, given our university focus, like we're probably aiming to like achieve certain numbers of colleges and then like certain numbers of people within those communities and those spaces. So yeah, in terms of like the UVA community, I guess we have like 30,000 students or something. So it'd be great if like we could get at least like 1/3 of those like aware of the app and have used it at some point. But I think to CJ's points, we have like a lot of different modes and a lot of different kind of ideas for how the app might actually come into use in the regular day-to-day lives of college students. So we're pretty open to a lot of possibilities there. If you guys have any ideas on like what a good range or number or percentage of students would be a good like aim for us, that would be amazing.
Well, put it back, you know, to you, in terms of your pricing model, in terms of your business, do you have a sense of what number, like, let's say UVA had 100,000 students, you know, 1/3 of that would be a lot larger, obviously. So 1/3 of a percentage seems a little random, you know, in terms of a target. So how do you judge, you know, whether or not 1/3 makes sense, or it should be 2/3 or 3, you know, whole, you know, or.
Right. I think like, so currently we're in the process kind of like getting feedback on the idea itself, like the base kind of version of Vibes that we have. And so I think that will like help us to kind of inform like what are the actual possibilities, and then maybe have some like more idea of what a good, percentage or number would be, because, it's currently like the answer would ideally be like 100%, right? Like, are like all the students are really loving Vibes and using it at their pre-games, at their like parties and things like that. So I think we're in the stage now of kind of trying to refine that number and figure out like, how do we focus on our core use case and our core customer in a way that we can say this is our target and our goal. So,
got it. I mean, I think that might be our first piece of advice here, would be to be more intentional and have a better idea of a number and why, if a number is even necessary. So it could be that at this stage in your journey, you need more feedback, or you're iterating on the idea. And maybe for the next whatever period of time, you don't need a certain number, you know, like a smaller number is actually better because you can get better feedback. But whatever it is, you don't want to create goals for yourself that don't necessarily give you any particular output, you know, you could have 2/3 of the entire community, which would seem amazing and feel great, but may not be relevant from a business perspective, or, you know, or you could only have like 10% and that's more than enough, you know? So you just want to have a better sense. You don't want targets to be based on anything arbitrary. It's hard enough to hit targets.
Right.
And then you don't want to fail in something, or, you know, feel like you're failing when meanwhile it's irrelevant, or you don't want to succeed and then kind of look around and say, okay, now what do we have? You know, so it's very, very important to be intentional on that.
Point, exactly.
If that makes, you know, if that resonates.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think it does.
So. Yeah.
Now, oh, go Sam.
I was just going to double down on that. And like he said, you got to really have an objective to do anything, because customers or just people who are interacting with the community in general is just bringing energy into the company. And if that energy is not directed toward an objective or a goal, then it, you know, we'll never be able to say, well, 10,000 people sounds like a great number. It has to be for a purpose. And if you can't define the purpose of those interactions or the purpose of those people engaging with the app or the company, then it's going to be very hard to have a goal that makes any sense, except like Jonathan said, not to overly repeat, but it would be totally arbitrary. And I do think it's good to be aware of that when you're going into planning, goal setting, things like that.
Yeah, makes sense.
And it needs to be tied to what's going on at the time. Because let's say I told you, you can have 500 million, you know, customers, your platform probably couldn't handle it right now, you know, so it'd probably crash. You know, I don't want to say it's not robust, but like, in other words, so like, you also have to be thinking about, like, you wouldn't want to outpace your technology in terms of your acquisition too much, you know. So acquisition is always a function of what's going on at that moment and what do you need them for.
Yeah, for another example, that if you need feedback, test groups or feedback groups are a better match to get feedback than customers.
Yeah,
something like that. So it kind of depends on what you're looking for. Because if I approach a group of people and say, do you want to use the service? That's different from approaching that same group and saying, we'd love your input. We'd love your feedback. We'd love you to help us grow this company from the start. And would you be willing to give some of your time and interact with us in that way? And that's a lot more authentic and one-to-one with what you might be looking for. And people resonate with that. If you kind of just assume that the only way you're going to interact with people is getting them to sign up and be a customer on the platform, you're really closing down a lot of really productive conversations you can have with, you know, your early market group.
Right. Yeah. I feel like we've been trying to like kind of get the more, what was the word you use? Test group kind of relationship going with a lot of like the events that we're doing and everything. Cause we've been like upfront in the sense of like, you know, there are still things we're figuring out how we want to lay this out or do this or that. So like, we'd love to use your event to kind of get everybody's opinion and see what the thoughts are, see how it works. So
And be transparent with that kind of thing. I think a lot of people, when they start building a business, they think, hey, we got to be really businessy and we got to just use the business tools and the business language that's available to us. But there's really nothing wrong, especially as a young startup, to get in the pattern of just asking for exactly what you need, like you're having a conversation with a friend. If you go to an event and usually need feedback, you don't have to dress that up and say, hey, we're going to test this. We want it to do something for you and hopefully it'll do something for us. Just say, we're early on. We're looking for feedback. We're looking for partnership. Would you be willing to help us? Just like you would go ask a friend or a colleague for help. You know, you don't have to dress this thing up and act more professional than you are, because honestly, that's tiring. And that takes a lot out of you. You know, when you find the right people that want to support you, support your company and support your mission, it's going to feel easy. And the way to get that easiness is just being honest and being real about what you're looking for and what you need. And then asking people straight up what it is, because a lot of people might say, no, I'm not interested in that. But then you wouldn't have wanted to force that anyway.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense.
And I'm going to go back a little bit to that inception moment, and we'll build upon why, you know, that's so important. But describe what, you know, CJ, you were saying that you're looking at, a couple of people that seem interested in the what was coming up next, and then some people didn't. What was that like? What did that feel like? Like, what's the, what difference does it make?
So it was two reasons. So as you said, like, even with me being, or my friend being like the host that night, queuing these songs up and waiting for reactions from people, it gives us a lot of anxiety. So a lot of times we're anxious to queue up the next song, or so it's easier when we're doing it. I figure it would be easier if we're doing everything and something like that together. So, I think just that idea of us trying to do it together and seeing them not being able to enjoy music along with us. I think that just needed more.
So you're saying, and there's a purpose to this madness. You're saying that you might have put on a song A, but yes. You kind of feel like you have to choose song B because you're also thinking about what people might like.
Exactly.
Even though what you're putting forward is actually people are expecting you to put forward what you want to play.
Exactly. Because I think in my head, even like a few hours even afterwards, I realized, so me personally, I have my personal taste of music that what I want to listen to. So in that moment, I might want to listen to what I want to listen to in that moment. And then my friend, everyone has their own personal wallet or taste of music. So now bringing that together, I was like, that would make more sense. But yeah, that gives us a lot of anxiety to figure out what song we should listen to together. And that one person being able to try to figure that one thing out is just brings on a lot of stress sometimes.
Because, you know, we're talking about customer acquisition and there's, you know, the question is, how do you get people to get involved in your product? You know, and the answer is people don't get involved in products, and generally it's very hard to get anyone interested in product. Yeah. But it's not so hard to get people aligned to a mission or something that's authentic. And so, if you find that moment that said, like, it takes a lot of energy to even get to where you guys are right now. You know, like you put a lot of time and effort into this instead of doing something else. That effort probably for the most part, you guys were together on it, feeling pretty enjoyable, like thinking about all these ideas and wouldn't this be cool and, you know, et cetera. But that is your company. That actually is what made that happen is your company. And it came from seeing something real in, you know, that moment or other people felt it. So, you know, the app is more about, you know, being your authentic self, playing, you know, like you want to play Celine Dion, you know, if anyone knows who she is on the podcast, but like, you know, but I'm not playing her, you know, I got to play something else, you know, like, so my point is that, that you need to find that, whatever that is, whatever that, you know, whatever's real, like an app that brings people together, that whatever it is, that's your marketing, you know, as it were, and that's where you could potentially get growth beyond where you're putting your energy. So like, because acquiring a customer for a product, that's a you know, there's analysis for how much that costs, etc. But a mission, sometimes it comes from the oddest places you don't expect. That rarely happens with a product. So I'll pause there if what I'm saying is makes sense.
No, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, definitely. I'm thinking of one moment we had, like, I'd say this is probably like along the lines of the goal or the feeling that we're driving towards, like in our customers and stuff, was we were having one event and like there was a group of maybe like I want to say like 5 to 10, maybe it was like maybe 8 people or so, like at a table, and they were really wanting to hear Hotline Bling by Drake, and they were all just adding that song up and liking it a lot, and you could see like and feel kind of the anticipation of like, I really want this song to play. And it like had like, I don't know, it took maybe like 1 or 2 songs for it to begin playing, but when it did, they just like the table went kind of crazy. So it was like, I think that moment is kind of what you're talking about and like what we should drive towards.
And if you could put that into, if you can articulate that in some sort of mission, that also becomes your basis for decision making. So like you say, should we have this functionality? Well, does it help that mission? Does it hurt that mission? Does, you know, should we expand beyond this group? Does it help, like, et cetera? As opposed to, as Sam was saying, most people are thinking businessy, you know, so like growth is good, period, or more functionality is good, period, or whatever it is, but it's not, you know, it's based on a container. And the second you lose that container completely, or it could evolve, don't get me wrong, but if it goes against what originally gave you the energy and excitement, you no longer have what you started with, which might be okay, but could totally change anyone's interest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even just the idea that Jonathan mentioned, where customer acquisition is buying customers, essentially. You guys at this stage, you don't even want to be in the mindset of buying customers for your product. You want to be, you might even put that out of your vocabulary, because the energy of customer acquisition is, so what activities are we going to do to convert customers And I just don't think we're there. I think really you should, the question that we should be asking is, how do we get people around us to fall in love with this experience? Yep. That should be the question. Does that make sense? Because if you say customer acquisition, you're just talking about how do I mechanically get customers attached to you, where it's really when you have people falling in love with the experience, it should also be the question of how do I get people to fall in love with the experience and tell their friends about it?
Yep.
That's what you're looking for, because that's going to be framing it in a way that how do I get 5,000 customers acquired? But if you just focus on lighting a few fires within really focused networks and then letting that spread organically, the customers are just going to come that are going to come. And that means you may hit a target, you may not hit a target, but at that point, what does it matter, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as we're talking more, you realize that there's a strong social media aspect of this, you know, like, because you're essentially creating a network of people who are sharing an interest, obviously, but also what are the things that get people excited? Like, so maybe someone's playlist who's highlighted, you know, or something like that, or somebody who found something obscure that's exciting or whatever it is. But it all becomes organic, you know, because it becomes clear what experience and feeling you're trying to cultivate. And then you can go excited in that direction, as opposed to, again, and we would say, stay away from the businessy ideas that sound like, yes, this is what somebody who, you know, is businessy would do. You know, you want to put that at it, like Sam said, put that far out of your head. It is just not the way to go to grow anything.
Right. Yeah. Do you guys have any ideas on marketing methods that might like help us, I guess, tap into more of that, like getting people to love it and like actually engage, as opposed to like just seeing it or like the more acquisition focused goal that you mentioned? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would start, and this is a similar advice that I have to a lot of young companies, especially in your position, which is I could start by thinking open page. What is the right marketing strategy to get people to fall in love with this thing? But maybe it could cost $100,000. Maybe it cost $500,000. You know, like, it's very overwhelming to have a blank page and say, how am I going to build a marketing plan that's going to get me the results I want? And then how do I, you know, intersection of the resources I have, the time, the interest, the skills. That can be very challenging. So again, if you put that notion out of your head and you start with, what do I have at my disposal right now? It's kind of more of a present mindset, which is, Trey, you're the CMO. From your desk, from your resource pool, with your capabilities, what is the thing that marketing related would make you excited to do? Is it go out? Is it make a social media advertisement? Is it go out and talk to people in your community? Is it hit up your friends first? Like, if you follow the path of least resistance, you're going to tend to have more energy. And marketing is really all about connecting with people. So I think the question becomes, or the advice, and then back a question to you is, what would make you the most excited to get started right now? Instead of sitting here and thinking about what to do, what is going to make you get out your door and or get on your computer and start doing the thing? Because that's going to be where I would always recommend you start, because then the energy is there right now. You're not blocked. You're not blocked with planning. You're not blocked with, do I need things that I don't have? And then how do I get them? Because all that noise is just you not acting in this moment. And for young companies, for you to get out the door, whatever's going to excite you to start talking to people and doing the things is going to be your best first lever to pull.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That makes a lot of sense. And like, I feel like, CJ, I'd love to hear your response too. But like, for me, the most engaging and best marketing like period for us was in during the summer in Charlottesville, when we were kind of doing a lot of like on the ground, talking to people and getting the idea into people's hands, like that had frats or that had organizations that had parties and stuff like that. Like, that was like, I think the most energizing experiences that we've had so far in terms of marketing, for sure, as opposed to like social media or something. Like, it's been cool to see that engagement and see like that reach. Because obviously we can't be in like Charlottesville and New York at the same time, and social media kind of allows you to do that. But in terms of like the energy and the real purpose of Vibes and our mission, I think the summer was definitely a cool period.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think, just off what everyone is saying, I think we got that over the summer, we was able to get the organic feedback. So we're able to get a lot of people coming up to us, whether it's saying, oh, this is really great, or we would like you guys to add this, or just any addition they would think of, or just any critique, it was just amazing because it was just all organic. So it just helped us to figure out what the next step would be, or just gave us that initial idea.
And, you know, you're starting to lay out your own, you know, marketing roadmap there, but you know, you may not realize it, but you're, on one hand, you're saying like social media is national, but the excitement and the reaction was at the local level. So you want to think about that more, about what was that experience like of getting the excitement and interest at the local level? Because once you understand what that process is, it's replicatable in other places, potentially by other people, potentially too. As opposed to thinking, okay, the next step we have to do something social media, or the next step, you know, et cetera. No, it's like, what was actually working for you? You know, what was exciting? Because that, you know, and that you could then think, okay, is there a way to replicate this? Is there a way to expand this? You know, at a certain point, yeah, still have to, you first have to understand, what is this, you know? The second thing I'll say though is, when you say, start thinking about customer acquisition, or, you know, getting people excited in what, you know, so like when both of you, or, you know, you take any company that even once you get to two people, three people, four, the concept of what it is that you're building, diverges very, very quickly. You don't even realize it. So one person might say, well, it's a music sharing app. Another might say, no, we make experiences, you know, we make an experience for people to, et cetera. And it could all be right. But the problem is you can't define a process or understand what it is you're building if everyone has a very different idea about what it is. So you want to get in the habit of saying, it's not like acquiring a customer, because not everybody is equal in terms of who comes on the platform. Because if one person's looking for X, but you're going in a different direction, yeah, that's good feedback. But at the end of the day, if someone tells you, well, I'd like it to be something totally different than what gave you excitement, you're not going to want to do it anyway. You know, so, you know, the first step is, what is this? Because right now it's still hypothesis, you know, that this is something that people will get jazzed about, you know? Yeah. And so you can't test hypothesis that's a moving target constantly. You know, you have to have somewhat of a, you know, something specific. And then as you get in the specific mindset, you say, how do I get people excited to, you know, and make it more specific? It becomes more obvious what options you have. But when it's left very big, how do we get people to come onto an app? Well, you know, tons of advice out there, but it's just way too much information to do anything with. But the more specific you become, the easier it is to act on it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's really helpful. Yeah.
It's this general theme of try to act as much as you can and think about it less. And that may seem kind of, you know, trite. It's not that you shouldn't think and you shouldn't have strategy, but the business is going to grow from you acting and getting out there and doing the things versus planning and strategizing so much. And that leads to inaction, and it can lead to overwhelming feelings of being overwhelmed. Especially when you're young and in the business is young, is what I'm saying. Because even Trey, you know, your first thought of, well, the events, like when we are doing these things, how do I then go and host these events? How about just have a party at your house? Or you both start having more parties, doing the things that you find fun, that you can introduce the app to more people locally, right? And the difference from a marketing standpoint, what is the marketing activity? Instead of, hey, come to a party at Trey's house, come to a party at this address, in parentheses, which is Trey's house, hosted by Vibes. Right, you see what I'm saying? The difference is this is stuff that you'd want to do anyway. Take the fun, take the excitement that you're doing, and then just filter it through the third person in the room always now with you guys, which is the company itself. How would the company want to represent itself if I had a party at my house? How would it be able to introduce itself to other people in my day-to-day interactions, in my representation? And then on top of that, you know, when you talk about marketing, how do you get people to fall in love? You ask the question, well, what are the marketing activities? How do you get people to fall in love with the experience? You guys aren't starting with zero. You have 5,000 people. The first thing I would say is write down how you fell in love with this experience. Where is your own passion coming from? And then ask the people who are promoters right now, how did you go from not knowing this existed to interacting with us, to interacting with Vibes and becoming a promoter? And that's the process. Right. You've already harvested it. You don't have to recreate the wheel from scratch. Have those conversations with yourself and others. And then what you're trying to do is scaling that outcome. because you don't have to say, what is this marketing strategy that's going to get people to fall in love with this? Ask the people that have already fallen in love with it. What happened to them? What was their experience? Right. And then bottle that up and repeat.
Right.
Makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, exactly. That's like why we want to focus so much on feedback too, is like, so we can start to like get a, cause I feel like up to this point, we've done a lot of the events and stuff, but we're trying to find ways to, I guess, to make the feedback more, not necessarily formal, but just find a way to action on the feedback better.
Yeah. And that's it. And that's a small change. And I think that's the thing you want to take away from this the most, is what I'm trying to at least harp on today, which is you don't have to go from, you were doing this great thing, but now you need to up at a level and you need to start from blank and think of this new strategy, do something crazy. It's really just, what have you been doing that's been successful? Tweak it a little bit so it's a little more structured. It's a little more formal. It has a survey at the end. It has like a formal time where you ask somebody questions that you've thought about before that will actually give you data that's more actionable. It's those little things that you're just adding on to your current processes that's going to start tightening up and giving you more valuable data, more valuable experience. But you want to look at, what am I doing today that's exciting, that matches my resources, that matches my passion, and then just continue to improve it little by little. You want to think iterative, not, oh, you know, we're small time and now CJ and Trey have got to go big time. Like, it's always going to come in steps, one step at a time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's really helpful.
And it within the comments Sam made the one time around ago, was something very, very important that I want to make sure was surfaced. This period of time, and not to put a downer on things, but the number of startups that succeed, obviously everyone knows, is it's not like a guarantee. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But we've seen a lot of people who go through cycles of different things that they've tried. And one of the things that separates success is, or the people that can learn from, you know, in a meaningful way, what happened, or is the people who are present with it. You know, so you can either way look back at this period of time in your life and say, that was awesome. You know, we just had a great time and we cultivated a lot of amazing parties and experiences for people. And this was so hard to do this business and, you know, business. And I'm not saying it's a negative. You want to be professional or serious about it, you know, but you don't want to look back and say, we tried all the social media, et cetera. Like, no, because that wasn't what you were trying to do. You know, that wasn't your mission at the time. And so if things failed, it may or may not have been an indication of what's a good idea or not. Whereas if you're present with it and say, we're going to have, you know, an awesome time, we're going to share this experience that we want to make for people with as many people as possible, and you do, no matter at what scale, you will have been successful. And then you're going to learn a lot from that success. That success will actually trigger different ideas down the line, or make this company into, you know, a super brand, you know, but whatever it is, you don't want to lose your way by trying to do the things you think you should be doing right now as a business, as opposed to what gave us the idea to start with. What was that excitement and what's going to keep us excited?
Yeah. Don't smother your passion with hard work. Think about that for a second. You don't want to do that because you're not going to make it. If you're not having fun every day with this, then you're not going to make it. So your first thing should be not how do I acquire more customers? How do I keep this fun every day? How do I wake up and keep having fun with this? How do I wake up and keep excited so that CJ wants to call Trey with his new idea, or Trey wants to call CJ? Because if you don't have fun, then it's not going to make, you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And I think, I was just going to say, I can really relate to that. Cause I think just for me, at least, with doing school and then doing vibes and then just personal life, I think just trying to balance like all three at once, sometimes I find myself trying to figure out, wow, this feels really like much like work instead of like fun like it usually was. So, and then sometimes, as Trey said, when we do our events, I feel that fun again because it's so organic. And I think that's what we're really chasing and looking for. So yeah, I understand that.
And as you cultivate that feedback loop, then that fun and experiences with just a larger group of people, because then you're getting that input that, you know, tells you how to make it better, you know, and you know, et cetera. Now, there are a lot of ways of growing a community of any sort. And so I just want to, I'll mention some, but again, this is almost, it's almost not mindful because we're telling you to stay, keep local until you understand what this is and what you're trying to replicate. But to the extent there are any communities that exist already out there of any sort, you know, so someone's administrating, you know, the reason why you're able to do it in school is I'm sure you're tapping into a lot of different networks and communities that you have access to. Well, that exists everywhere, you know, so the more you understand what experience you're trying to cultivate, and it's very, very clear, as opposed to like the functionality of the app, the more that you can identify other communities that exist that might have an interest. And then it's like, okay, how did I tap into the network here? Who runs the mail list, you know, the listserv, you know, who runs, you know, et cetera. And then it becomes obvious, oh, okay, there's like a bazillion people like this, you know, out there. And then it's like, does anyone know anyone who, you know, does anyone have a friend at any other campus? Oh yeah, I do, you know, and like, do they know what their network is? Can they just get this thing popped up there? You know, you want to make your party cool, you know, et cetera, you know, and then it becomes obvious again, though, really hard if you're, if there's a lot of sentences that need to explain it or something like that. But if it's clear what, you know, do you, you know, have you ever had this experience where you couldn't, you know, you didn't know what song to play next, you know, et cetera. Oh, I feel like that, you know, or et cetera, or we've had these great parties. Here's why, you know, but that you can then scale, but it's identifying those different communities that already exist and then tapping into that. That is definitely more productive than just scattershot, you know, which we would never recommend going out there. And then, you know, generally just the platform you're on, when you get to the point where you feel like this is something we can launch, you know, louder, there are other platforms that exist out there and other software or other apps that may be a natural, you know, there might be a natural alignment between the two, and they really might be further along in the journey and you can form some sort of partnership, you know? So like these are classic ways of growing a network, and they come with the benefit of not looking at each listener as, you know, trying to get one by one by one, but looking for big bangs, you know, and looking for whole groups. And then you have to be, the good news is you get a whole group. The bad news, or actually I think the good news is you have to be very intentional and thoughtful about what it is, again, that you're providing. You know, why should anyone bother with this? And you know, those are just some ideas in terms of, you know, how to bring some scale to this.
Right. I think that's why we're excited about colleges too, in general, because they have a pretty, they should have like a pretty repeatable structure that we can like follow in terms of like how we get one campus to get more aware of the idea and more usage. So that should be like repeatable, as you guys said, like to other markets and other colleges. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Well, and at this point, I know we've been throwing a lot at you. So I want to open up a minute or two for you guys to reflect how you're feeling, how this is all tracking overall. And then I'd love to know if any additional questions are coming up here.
Oh, yeah. CJ. Oh, yeah. Everything sounded lovely so far. And I think for me, one of the biggest takeaways is just that reiteration of like reiterating our success. So wherever we find like organic success or organic feedback, kind of using that and kind of running with that and trying to figure out, okay, we have this community, what's the next community? Is there somewhere similar? And just keep running with our success in general. Because I think we've defined a lot of those, and we just haven't been able to like pinpoint exactly what to do with those different feedback or stuff that we get.
Yeah. I think I'd echo all that. Like it's a good, this was a good like reminder to kind of focus in on the areas where we've already seen the idea work well and get received well. And so, yeah. And I think we've been having like, or feeling kind of a need to like refocus and kind of realign some of our strategy in terms of marketing in general. So we're definitely very thankful for all the insights and the ideas. Yeah, in terms of questions, I feel like you guys already answered like most of them. Like, I feel like if my main one would just be if you have any other ideas on how to really expand marketing in like a more personal sense and less like social media based and all that, please shoot those our our way, or let us know if you think of any now. And yeah, same for just like marketing to colleges or college students in general.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Like I said, we kind of talked about it. There's infinite things you could do in marketing. So I don't want to say that I don't have a million ideas. I could probably sit here for an hour and say like, oh, I have this idea and that idea. But I think for your app, the most fun thing is get out there and have fun. Get out there and party with people. You know, how do you scale partying, getting people in front of the app, getting them using it, getting them having better experiences than what their current experiences is. And I'm a lame person now. I don't party as much. So I'm not going to sit here and try to even pretend I can throw party ideas at you that you probably couldn't come up with better than me. But it's really, just get out there and do it and just interact and get the app in all the places that the app wants to be. Yeah. Get it in the places where it can shine and it can show its value and it can show where there it's meeting a problem that is not being met. And that's not even going to happen on social media. Like you said, like when you said, what are the ideas? How are you going to do that on social media?
Right.
You can't.
Right.
Social media is just going to be a way to get people to the place if you even want to use it for that. But otherwise, college campuses, you guys are still there. You're still close to the demographic. The best thing you do is get out there and use the app. Get it used everywhere you can get it used. And then you start to think about marketing ideas around how do I then maybe give my friend a free Little John's meal or whatever to get out there and be the next person to go to the next party and bring the app, you know, like how do I scale the things? But there's no, even the question of what are the ideas you have? We could sit here and brainstorm, but it's infinite. There's no end to that kind of behavior. Just get out on the campus and just kind of get working.
Yeah.
And I'll go back to the point of the more specific you are about what it is that you're marketing, the easier that task becomes. And when I hear, the idea and what you guys are working on, you know, it speaks to me on a lot of different levels. And we're saying social media, this is actually what social media one would have hoped would have become, which is, you know, the sharing of something, you know, that as opposed to like everyone just like, I like this music and I like this music and I won't have nothing to do with you. This bridges things, you know, and I like that a lot. And it also allows people to present their authentic selves, you know. These are all major themes right now that are, you know, really important for society. And so just, I think what you guys are promoting here is something very, very exciting. You know, we're saying, you know, makes parties nice, et cetera, but it actually, you know, it lets people share a part of themselves. It does something in a more democratic manner, you know, than everyone just shouting everyone down, you know, and like, you should only like this music and et cetera. I think there's so many opportunities here, on that level of messaging, if you really expose it, you'll be surprised about who might join in. Whereas if you focus on the marketing, you know, how do I market? You're just going to lose no one's going to have interest in joining that. You know, like you'll have interest for a little while until you get burnt out, you know, on customer acquisition. But again, I can't stress enough the mission and building that, because it just helps give you direction.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
As somebody who likes Disney music and show tunes, no one is ever playing my music at parties. So, you know. This is the kind of thing.
See, that's where you're wrong, because like there's so many people. There's someone else sitting there going, I wanted to play that at the last party I was at, and I didn't.
If I had this app, I could at least share it. I could at least share
exactly,
it. Because the DJ was always shutting down my music. That's the problem I had. But, you know, we didn't have any apps when I was in college. People just, there was the DJ and that was it. There was no discussion about it.
Right. And we actually hosted like a bat mitzvah recently where like the people were adding up nothing but like Alexander Hamilton tracklist. So like
that's
the kind of thing we're
going to get. All right. Well, let's definitely keep in touch. We've had a really good time having you on the show today. It sounds like you guys have taken a little bit of perspective away with you, and hopefully you'll just have ideas flowing. But keep in touch. And thanks for coming on, having a great conversation with us. If you or any of your friends who have a business challenge want to come on the show, we'd love to hear from you. And for listeners, I always like to say, leave your comments, leave your questions, and we'd love to hear from you too. But other than that, thanks a lot, Trey, CJ, best of luck. And we'll talk to everyone next week. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you guys so much.